Welcome to the Journey Church Message Replay. If you were not able to be with us live when this message was delivered, or you just want to take a deeper dive into God's Word, this is where you can find the latest message delivered here at Journey. Be sure to click the subscribe button on the podcast service you are listening to or the video channel you are watching right now. That way you won't miss anything because you will be notified every time a new message is uploaded. Our goal here at Journey is to help you discover your real life purpose in Jesus so that you can make a difference in your world. This message you're about to hear is going to both encourage and challenge you to do just that. If you like what you hear, then go ahead and hit that like and share buttons below and leave us a comment as well. There are more ways to contact us down in the notes section. If you want to know more about us, then you just have to search Journey Church Eva online and on social media. Now, get ready and let God speak to you through this message today.
All right, so let's go to the Word. Father, we want to thank you that we have this time to go into your Word. Let it speak to our lives, that it may come alive inside of us, not just be a dead word. But the Word is not dead. The Word is alive, and it is well, and is what our life is lived in. And it makes a difference, God, when we activate the Word of God to us and through us. In Jesus' name today, so thankful for it. Everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, this is a message really about going back to school. Never done one like this, okay? But I want to encourage you, it's not just for going back to school. It's for going to work tomorrow. It's for going to town tomorrow. It's for any time you go outside your house. You are just as much a child of God tomorrow as you are in here today. And like you came here today to worship the Lord, to sing praises, to hear some word, tomorrow's your opportunity now to go out and be what you got a taste of today. Okay? No matter what atmosphere you go into, we are called to shift that atmosphere for the glory of God. So, but it's just good to preach this message kind of on what we call the back to school season. And how many know that back to school can be exciting for some people? Some of y'all are very excited. I love the video that shows the difference between some mothers dropping their kids off for the first day of school. It showed one mom, she's crying, oh my. The other mom shows them opening the door and throwing the kid out, throwing the backpack and peeling out, okay? Y'all deal with her. So I don't know where you fall out on that spectrum, but I know one thing. In our house, every year when it came back to back to school, especially when we had all four at home, it was new clothes time. Come on. New school season, new clothes. I never understood that. Dads, I don't know about it. I don't know why you got to have new schools to go back to, or new clothes to go back to school. I and I don't know why you got to go buy new outfits to go on vacation. The people on vacation have never seen you in your old clothes. They don't know you got new clothes. But new clothes, and it's a time to meet new teachers, and you got new classes, and just a whole plethora of different opportunities from sports and organizations and school clubs, and it can be an exciting time, especially, you know, and you've come out of this thing. But for many Christians, it becomes a time where it seems like it is pressure sometimes, especially for those that have spent your summer maybe coming closer to the Lord, enjoying the presence of God this summer, and you've been around like-minded people. But how many know that this Wednesday, it'll be a different environment now? Come on now, amen? Amen? So, see, all summer long, you came to church. You hung out with your friends that come to church. You may have been able to go on down to the beach with us to break away, or you may have went to a Christian camp, or you may have went to some vacation Bible schools, and you were worshiping with your friends, you were praising God with your friends, you may have started studying the Bible, and you're posting scriptures, and your Christian friends are posting back, and it's just been a good summer, amen?
Amen.
And you're around people who are like-minded like you, and it was easy to lift your hands and say, praise the Lord.
Come on,
amen? How many know Wednesday's coming? This Wednesday, most people will go back into a different environment than you've been in most of your summer, hopefully. And you're going back to school. You're going back to the classroom. So you're going to walk back into these hallways where not everybody's a believer like you. Come on. We go into workplaces where everybody's not a believer like us. Or we go to town and nobody's a believer. Anyway, I'm gonna... But you go to school and you're going to be sitting beside and in the classroom within proximity of people who probably will, and they do make fun of Christians and anybody who loves God. And maybe some of the friends who you hang out with and may have got involved in some things last year, but you walked a little closer with Jesus this year, they're going to be there to tell you to come on back to the old ways. Right. And you're going to be in a dilemma at that time. And your temptation, which is the greatest temptation you're going to face Wednesday, is what do I do now? I know what I've enjoyed this summer with Jesus, but now I'm back here and it's not the same atmosphere, it's not the same culture, it's not the same just small handful of people. Now I'm out in the big pond again. And the temptation is for you to freeze up. Everybody say freeze up. Freeze up. Now the temptation is I didn't say you were going to stop believing. It's not about you stopping believing in Jesus Christ, but it is about, do I need to show it now? I've been able to show it all summer around my Christian friends, and now I'm in school, and not everybody's a believer, not everybody's going to be the same way now, and I'm in a different culture. I still believe, but do I still show up with Jesus like I was all summer? And the tendency begins to be, I'm going to freeze up with my faith and not show it. Come on. Hot or cold. Go ahead and put up the first note. Let me encourage you with this. Don't change just because your environment changed. Don't change who you are. Just because you're going back into a place where there's a little more resistance and everybody's not saved, and still be you that God created. Don't you change who you are because you're not in an atmosphere where it's always accepted and comfortable. And this morning, we're going to go there in just a few minutes, but in the book of Daniel, and I'm going to try to go pretty fast today to get you out of here at a good time, because we've got to go over here at 2 o'clock and we got to make a difference in our community, and I hope you'll show up for some of that. And we're packing the school bus out with school supplies and things like that. But how many know the book of Daniel in the Old Testament? Daniel was actually taken captivity by King Nebuchadnezzar, him and his whole tribe, when he conquered Israel, or conquered Jerusalem. And they brought him into what was known back then as, everybody say, Babylon. And Daniel was brought back into Babylon, but Daniel had some favor when the king said, I want you to find certain men, I want them to be strong, I want them to work in my palace and kind of be servants to us. But they're going to be treated well because they're going to be considered, you know, good people. And so Daniel was one of the ones who actually got picked for this. And because he got picked for it, he was going to get to eat from the king's selected food, okay? And most people understand that a lot of the food was going to be food that was offered to idols, but his people was not going to get to eat like he was going to get to eat. And Daniel was a very devout man of God, very devoted to God. And so you got to understand something. Daniel's just like us going back into school this year. He was in a new culture. He had to actually learn to speak a new language. Everybody say, you'll learn language at school. He had to establish getting to know some new friends. And now there's this new pressure to take and fit in to what the king says they need him to be and do and eat and have in his palace there. So he's in a whole new environment. Like our kids are going to be in a whole new environment. You were at high school. Now you're going into college. Whole new environment. Wow, big shift there. But although Daniel was going into something, Daniel was going into Babylon, but the thing about Daniel is he didn't allow Babylon to come into him. Man, you better get that. You may be going into a school system that's not that godly, but you don't let the school system get into you. You go be there, but let there not be in you. As a matter of fact, I'm going to read to you Daniel chapter 1, verse 8. I love this part. It's just a clip of it. The Bible says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself. And it goes on and said, I'm not going to eat that food. I'm not going to take food that's offered to idols. I'm not going to take food that my people I know that are my friends that they can't have access to. And this is where we get to what's called in the Bible the Daniel fast. And if you can read the rest of the story on your own. But make no mistake about it. Today, go ahead and put the next note up. Schools are today's Babylon for many students. They're going to Babylon. They're going into a place that's a different culture. They speak different languages, different atmosphere, and different expectations for them to fall in line to. But students and people, let me just tell you something. Don't let Babylon get into you. You're going to be back in the place where you walk down the hallways or sitting in classroom. You're going to hear dirty jokes. Come on. You're going to listen to a lot of people gossip and tell lies. You're going to hear everybody's drama, good or bad. You are definitely going to be hearing some very foul, cussing, profanity language. This is what it is. This is what it, I mean, at school bus too. You're definitely going to be in a place where sexual immorality is promoted. And Christianity often is mocked in these places. Like I say, several places. Now, again, we've got some great schools, don't get me wrong. We've got some great faculty at schools, teachers, principals, coaches. Thank the Lord for them. And they're doing all they can do. But let me tell you something. It's like trying to herd cats. They can't control what everybody says and everybody does all the time because they're not with them all the time. They can't monitor them in the hallways and in the bathrooms and on the school buses and in the back of classes all the time. And how many know this stuff goes on in school? It went on when I was there. Come on. Yeah. Everyone else sometimes over in school system has changed and some of them got worse and some of them got better, but God's not called you to change like the world. Matter of fact, go ahead and put up the next note real quick. God has not called you and I to blend in with the world system. He's called us to be standing out. And you can't be ashamed of that. You can't be afraid to be standing out. You can't be afraid to be left out. Well, man, we're going to leave you out, not include you if you're going to stay with that Jesus thing. Well, I'd rather be left out of that so that I'm not left out of heaven. Amen. Any day of the week. One of my favorite verses, Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, this Babylon system. Don't be conformed to it, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. The Passion Translation, I love this, says it like this. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you. Don't imitate that stuff. It's not of God. Around you. Watch this. But be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how the way you think. This way it will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in His eyes. Yes. We can't go along with what the world systems say, or we'll go with what the world does. And the next note says this basically right here. And I would tell this not just to students, but to every person who gets up on Monday, remember who you represent. Don't all of a sudden don't think you're a representative when you get in school. Well, I'm not going to represent him here. When you get into your workplace, well, I'm not going to rep. And I'm one that preaches this all the time. Unless they've hired you to be the pastor or a bishop or a Christian counselor, coach at your workplace, you're not there to do that. You're there to do what they've asked you to do. We should be the best employees they have. But you do have times when you on break. You do have your lunch time. You do have this time sometimes. And if someone asks you, you can talk on the line or wherever you work at. You've got a voice there. Okay? It ain't, you know, Sunday Christian, Monday just regular person. Come on. Because this is what the Lord says about you. Matthew chapter 5, Jesus' words himself, verse 14, he says, you are the light. Now watch this, of the world. The world's a big place. And there's a lot of darkness in the world, but the darkness needs light to come in. And God has declared every born again believer, boy, girl, man, woman, old, young, it doesn't matter. He says, if you and me, you are my light. And I want you to go into the world. Everybody say into the world. That's where the light's needed. Now watch this. He said, you're like a city that's set on a hill and you don't need to be hidden. There is no undercover Christianity. And then he goes on down, drop down a couple of verses in verse 16 of Matthew chapter 5. He says this, again, these are the words of Jesus. He says, let your light shine before men. not let somebody else's light shine, but let your light shine. Where? Before men. Why? That they may see your good works and then glorify the Father in heaven. Amen. It's not the way you can say, look at me, look at me. It's you can say, hey, look at my father. Right. Woo, look at my daddy. Look at King Jesus. I get to do this stuff, but he gets the glory. Can I have a better amen there? Amen. Jesus didn't say, come to church and turn your light on here. And that's where most Christians want to shine. He said, don't come to church, turn your light on. He didn't say in here. He said, go out into the world and shine. Amen. Go where the darkness is at and be a light. Can I have a better amen there? Because here's the thing about it. Next note. Your actions are going to speak before your words ever come out of your mouth. Amen. Come on now. Now, I encourage you, don't freeze up with your mouth either. But make sure your actions line up with what you've said this summer. Come on. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12, and I'm going to read this out of the Passion Translation. I love the way it words a few things in here. It says, and don't be intimidated, everybody say intimidated, by those who are older than you. It's tough sometimes when you go from elementary to junior high, and from junior high to high school, and again, high school into college, and college into the workplace, and it can be intimidating because there's people older than you, and you want to impress them, and you want to be accepted by them, and be noticed by them. But let me tell you something. Don't let that older bunch intimidate you one bit. Come on now. So this is Bible. Don't be intimidated by those who are older than you. Watch this. Simply be the example they need to see by being faithful and true in all that you do. Speak in truth and live a life of... Come on, say it with me. Live a life of purity. Purity, spirit, soul, and body. Purity, eyes, ears, and mouth. Well, good preaching, amen. Live a life of purity and authentic love, not some fake Christian love, as you remain strong in your faith. I love the way this translation puts that. You got to remain strong in your faith when you go into these new seasons, because your faith is going to be tested. Make no mistake about it. Your faith is going to be tested every Monday when you get out into the real world. Now, amen? Paul didn't say wait till you get older to do this. He didn't say when you reach a certain age. What is the age? If you're old enough to be born again, you're old enough to be the age of a leader. He said, I need you to go in and lead now, not later. We need you now. Because there's three different people you're going to encounter in school systems and on campuses and colleges, no matter where. Your biggest group's going to be you're going to encounter other students. Then you're going to encounter the teachers or professors or faculty. And then if you play sports, you're going to encounter the coach and the coaching staff. Yeah. Amen? And they're looking at you because they have to teach you or instruct you or do something with you. And you know that there are going to be other students that's never going to read their Bible? Listen to me now. There are students at the school this Wednesday. They've never opened a Bible. But you know what they're going to read? They're going to read you. They're going to read your actions. They're going to read the language that's coming out of your mouth. Because they may have heard this summer you got saved. They may have heard this summer you went back to church. They may have heard over this summer you went to a camp and had an experience with God. And now they're waiting to read you. And if you go in there and freeze up, they ain't got nothing to tell them. They ain't got nothing to lead them. Because all of a sudden we're ashamed because of the environment we stepped into. Now here's that. The students are a challenge enough to live it out in front of them. But I'll take it a step further. There are teachers that have never stepped foot in attended church. And you know what they're going to be looking at? You, the student. Are you the teacher, the other teacher of the other class? Come on. Are you the janitor or the custodian or the principal or vice principal or the counselor? There are teachers there that need Jesus Christ. And they're watching your attitude. They're watching how you respond to difficulty. They're watching how you respond to instances where something's gone wrong. And if you're a student, they're watching your attitude in the class toward your classmates, toward them, the assignments, and how you act. And all of that is a testimony to the teacher that's lost.
Yes.
It is.
Yes.
They're watching. If they know little Johnny or little Susie's a Christian, they're watching you. If they hear that this teacher over here got baptized this summer, they're watching you. And then there's coaches and coaching staffs. They may not ever hear your testimony, but they're going to watch to see what kind of integrity you have. So it's not just about the students. It's about our whole atmosphere where we're at. There's people watching. There's people at your workplace watching you. They know you go to church. They probably even know where you go to church. Please act right. Please don't do nothing stupid. Please don't post nothing stupid. Please. Y'all okay? There's three main questions I want you to ask. Put that note up. This is real simple today. I know it's not deep today, but it is very simple. Very practical, but it needs to be accomplished. Three questions to ask every morning before you walk into school or before you even walk into work or wherever you go tomorrow. It doesn't have to be school. Number one, settle this right now. Who am I? Who am I? And I hope the answer is what we have on your note there. I'm a child of God. Because when you don't know if you're a child of God, no wonder you're walking around just wondering what everybody else will do and you'll join in. When you don't know for sure you're a child of God, then yes, you are subject to do what everybody else does because you're trying to find an identity. Yes, you'll give in to peer pressure because you want to fit in somewhere. But when you know who you are, you know where you fit in. And I am a child of God. I'm a child of the King. I fit into the kingdom word of God. That's where I am. That's who I am. Matter of fact, the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, talking about Jesus Christ, to him, he, God Almighty, gave them the right to become children of God. Now watch this. To those who believe in his name. So if you believe in the name of Jesus, if you called upon the name of Jesus to forgive your sins, to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior, you are a child of God. Hallelujah. Don't get excited about it. It's only the greatest thing you could ever do on planet Earth. Getting married is wonderful. Having kids is wonderful. Getting God, it's the top. It's the most exciting thing and best thing you can do in your entire life. And that's why the devil don't want you to know who you are. He don't want you to stay faithful. He don't want you to connect. That's why he puts all this other junk around you, pull you out of your identity, get you walking in crowds that you don't need to be walking in, doing things that you ain't got no business, and you know it. But you want to fit in with somebody versus who you really are. Stay connected to who you are. The second question after who am I? Again, who do I represent? Do I represent Satan? Do I represent cussing and fussing and drama and yeah, this? And is that my identity? Is that who I belong to? And the answer for a lot of people is yes, that's exactly your identity. But again, if you know who you are in Christ, you know that's not part of who you are. It's not part of who you're supposed to be. Colossians, who am I representing? Of course, we know the answer. Say it with me, 1, 2, 3. Jesus is who we represent. Again, we are a walking, living testament of Jesus Christ when we go into Babylon. Whether it be the Babylon school, the Babylon workplace, the Babylon Walmart, wherever we go. We represent Jesus Christ. And people know that. And they're watching and they're listening to see what we do. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. The Bible says, whatever, that means whatever. That means student, wife, husband, son, daughter, husband, father, mother, teacher, whatever. Whatever you do, do it in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. It means everything you do, you represent Christ. And I like to say represent, you are representing what Christ looks like. You're representing what Christ talks like. You are representing what Christ acts like. Because you are the only Bible some people are ever going to see. And you're like, well, that's not fair. I'm not there yet. I'm not either. None of us have arrived. But when we know who we are and who we represent, we ought to be paying attention to the way he says, do it in his word. You ain't got to be perfect. You just got to be getting perfected. Well, who am I? I'm a child of God. Who do I represent? Jesus Christ. And the last one, God, what opportunities will you give me today? Boy, that's a good one right there. God, I thank you that I'm a child of God. And Lord, I thank you I represent Jesus today. Now, Lord, lay my day out for me, and what opportunities are you going to give me? And if you will pay attention to especially that last one, once you settle the first two, start paying attention to that last one. Because I guarantee you there's opportunities for you almost on a daily basis, sometimes several times a day. And it's not about getting out of Bible study. It's just about having the right attitude, about having the smile on your face. It's about going, well, you know, I don't know all the answers. I just know when I'm in trouble, man, I just pray to Jesus. I go jump in his word. I may call a phone a friend or something like that. I always try to get help, biblical advice on anything I'm facing. You ain't got to know all the answers. You just got to know who to point them to. I don't know all the answers, but today I'm pointing you to Jesus because he's got it. Amen? So what are some of the opportunities? I guarantee you one thing. You've always got the opportunity to encourage somebody. Instead of jumping in their drama and their gossip story and seeing the glass half empty, why don't you come along and say, hey, you know what? I know that may be going on, but do you realize it's also half full? If it's half empty, that means it's half full. So let's look at what we can do to keep filling it up. Maybe you can encourage somebody. And lo and behold, now this is a shocker. You may actually have that window where you can actually pray for someone out loud. You got some time in the hallway. This person's going, you know, this summer's been horrible. I've had this happen, this tragedy happen. I just don't know what to do. Hey, you know what? I got a few minutes before I got to be in class. Father, would you bless my friend here and just show yourself mighty to him in Jesus' name? That's all you got to do. That's all you got to do. They'll either run away from you and make fun of you, or they'll be back saying, tell me more about this Jesus. Either way, you've planted the seed. You may get a chance to pray for someone. And you may also can invite someone to church if you're not ashamed of your church. I know I've been a hindrance to some of you inviting people. But I have increased your prayer life sometimes when you do invite people. It's like, Lord, I finally invited them and I think they're coming. Lord, would you please not let him do anything strange or weird, God? Please, just this Sunday, Lord, let him be normal. Please, God. I feel those prayers. I feel you. But you invite them. And if it's not here, you just say, hey, have you ever thought about going to church somewhere? Getting connected to a body of believers. Again, we've never talked about just always here. There's, okay? And maybe it's just that you need to be that one person in your class, one person in that group, one person on that team that you need to walk a little bit differently. And you can be okay with that. The one that says, I'm not going to go to the keg party. I'm not going to go to the porn party and watch it. Thanks, but no thanks, guys. That's not who I am anymore. Maybe it's time for you just to be that person. It's okay to be different when different means you're not like the world. It's okay. It's a badge of honor, as a matter of fact. So a lot of people worry about, you know, oh, this year I got these big tests. I got ACT scores. I got, you know, this test. But let me just tell you something. This year, your biggest test may not be that math test. It may not be that social studies test. It may not be that science exam that you don't understand. It's probably going to be the test of your faith. It's going to be the biggest test you take this year. Whether or not you're going to stay on fire for God or you're going to freeze up because you're in a different atmosphere now. True disciples of Jesus are they're the same way in the hallway. They're the same way in the classroom. They're the same way on the ball field. They're the same way at the courts. It doesn't matter where they're at. A true disciple of Jesus walks it out no matter where they're at. They don't change because their atmosphere changes. Last scripture, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Guys, I hope you can land on this one. And guys, how many know we need students on our campuses with this grit? How many like to see that? Students walking on campus applying this verse. Yes, we all would. But they need to see moms and dads. Quit putting it on the younger generation. Let them have an example. The only way you can put something on them is if you've got it on you. Because if they've watched mom and dad be ashamed, why should they not follow suit? Brings it home, don't it? I see, I liked it better when you was on the kids. But this verse is for every born again believer of Jesus Christ. For I don't know about anybody else. I'm not going to stand in account for anybody else at my school, at my job, in my work, in my organizations, on my team, in my club, whatever. I'm not going to stand and give an account for anybody else. I'm going to stand before the Savior. And I can declare I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not ashamed of it. You want to know about it? Ask me. I'll tell you. Anywhere, anytime, any place. Why? Because it is the power of God to salvation. For everyone who believes, for the Jew first and then also the Greek, the Gentiles, which we got drafted in. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. It was offered to more than just his chosen people, his chosen nation. But guys, we cannot be ashamed in the school. We cannot be ashamed in town. We can't be ashamed at the job or anywhere. Because I don't know if you've noticed it right now, but the biggest upwelling and bold people right now in America is the Islamic faith. The Muslims are coming out into the streets and they're barking like they're going to own the place. Come on now. And we're sitting over here in our little cubbyhole going, well, I don't want to offend nobody. That's what they're banking on. Now, I'm not jumping up in the morning looking who I can offend, but if this offends you, c'est la vie. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. I'm not going to hide it like some light and put it under a blanket. We've got to live our faith out loud. And most of the time, living your faith out loud means you're just not going to participate in the junk. And you know that's a loud voice right there. A lot of times you don't even have to say nothing. Your actions, again, that's why I put that one in there. Your actions will speak before your words ever do. When you don't show up to the parties, when you don't join in with the foul language and the dirty jokes, when you don't go along with marriage can be whatever it needs to be and love is love. And you say, no, I don't agree with it. You ain't got to get in the big debate with them. Well, why not? I believe what the Bible says. Well, you're a hater. Well, I can't change. I hope you change your mind, but I can't make you. But you can't make me change my mind either. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to freeze up. Amen. So the same God that met you through this summer will be the same God that walks with you into school this Wednesday. He's no different. So don't treat him no different. Don't disrespect him. Take him everywhere you go. Let's stand our feet. If you're here this morning and you've never accepted this Jesus, We do two things here that we don't do. We don't ask you to join church today. We don't ask you to become a religion today. We just simply say, have you given your life and surrendered your life to Jesus Christ? Not playing games here this morning. Love a good time, but right now heaven and hell is in the balance. And if you're a child of God, you're called to be the fullness of Christ, not partial. But this morning, if you're here and you've never accepted Jesus, that's what we're offering you. It's just a chance to pray and ask God to forgive you, and you repent from your sins. You ask him to come into your life, everything about your whole life, surrendering all to him. And you invite him in to be your Lord and Savior, and then you say yes to him. If you've never done that, and you would like for today to be your day, that you can mark as your life was never the same after today, just lift your hand up and say, today's my day. I want to give my life to Christ. Anybody? One right over here? Yeah. All right. Come on now. Come on, yeah. Real quickly, anyone else? Just lift your hand up. Just a statement of faith saying, today's my day. Anybody? Anyone? All right, we're going to pray together with our new person in Christ. I didn't see who it was, but let me tell you something. God saw it. But we're going to pray together, okay? I want you to pray this out loud with your family here that's already done this. Dear Jesus, here I am. I come to you right now. I don't understand everything, but I understand enough to know right now that without you, I have no hope. I cannot pay for my own sins. But today, I believe that Jesus, you are the Christ. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you came from heaven to earth. And I believe you lived as a man. And I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins. And I believe you went into the tomb. And I believe by the power of God, you defeated death, hell, and the grave. And you came out of that tomb alive for me. And today I repent from my sins. I ask you to forgive me and make me new today. I surrender my whole life to you, Jesus, because you are the Christ. You are the Son of God. And I invite you right now, of my own free will accord, come into my whole life and be my Lord and my Savior. And I receive you by faith right now that I am saved by your grace. And I believe it and I receive it all for your glory. In Jesus Christ, I am a child of God. Amen. Come on.
Thank you for watching or listening to the Journey Church Message Replay. Be sure to hit the like and share buttons below to help us spread this message. We would love to connect with you. Leave us a comment, or for more in-depth conversations about what you just heard, you can contact us by clicking the email link in the notes below. And be sure to check us out online and on social media just by searching Journey Church Eva. Now that you have been empowered by God's Word, go make a difference in your world today.